Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the Captain Book Club. We are doing the Five Invitations, Discovering What Death Can Teach Us About Living Fully by Frank Ataski. I'm not saying that name right. I need to, like, look at something and have somebody pronounce that.
Yeah,
I have right. So, Frank, I am sorry. I am not doing well with your name. What?
Go ahead.
Ataski.
Oh, that's very good. Very good.
Having a difficult name to pronounce for people.
We just have a heck of a time, Robin and I. We cannot pronounce our, you know, even our own names right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, that kind of is kind of related because Alana, we've been calling her Alana and all that kind of stuff, and I found she had was very
We're
helpful
creative.
Because she says it's like banana. Okay, I'll go
banana.
Say banana. Alana.
Alana.
Yeah.
Banana.
Alana. Mm-hmm. Manana, Nana, Mofana,
no.
Alana, Malana, yeah.
Alana, Alana, Alana.
Alana, see, I still not saying it.
Alana, Alana, Banana. Yeah, Alana, Banana.
Alana, Banana. Well, see, that makes it helpful.
Perfect.
For me too. Yeah. So
a rose by any other name.
Exactly. Is a banana. There we go.
Correct. That's correct.
Lost control. All right, Rob, hit it.
In Flower Power this week, we're starting a new section. One of the last couple of weeks we've been doing that. And instead of a flower this week, I really got inspired by Alana to be doing colors. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that came to be a little later in the show. But color is, gosh, think of a flower without a color. You really can't. You can't think of life being without that. And I love if you go to with Eckhart Tolle, when he was talking about the beginnings of the earth and how everything was green, and then the first flower came upon the planet, and there was this burst of explosion of color. You can just imagine what that was like for the planet to have that flower expressing itself. And I was fortunate to learn how to do Ikebana, which is a Japanese floral arranging. And in Ikebana, flowers are considered just a sacred expression within the design. So if you had, you only would have maybe one or two flowers with all this greenery, with all these energies that were going around with it. And it just shows that much more sacredness of the flowers. And I really love that because, you know, going from Western design with floral design and just the floral industry, we think of just these massive amount of bouquets with all kinds of flowers packed in there. But to take one flower, you know, it's just like giving your loved one rose. And having that be something that's just this really sweet, you know, the depth of simplicity, giving beauty to a beauty, you know, beauty to someone that you see beauty in, I think is just so beautiful. So I really want to encourage people to be looking at color and what's attracted to them. And we won't necessarily, you know, this is like maybe a 5-minute segment that can kind of just give you a little bit of a taste of something. So as the show goes on and with the different episodes, I'll be bringing in different kinds of colors to talk about different things. But we're going to talk about white tonight. And white is actually all colors. It's bringing all the different, if you go to somebody who specializes in lighting, they would tell you that, you know, it takes 3 or 4 different lights shown together to actually get the white that you want to be able to have that be present on stage and how it's going to be reflecting back on the actors or stage or whatever that's going to be happening with that. So when you're attracted to white, it's really showing that there's a real calling to being a level of integration and having things really coming together in a way that is just bigger than itself. And what I think is real interesting is that right now my flower shop, which is Flowers for You in Riverside, California, a little plug there, there's a lot of people who just want white bouquets, all the flowers white, which I think is really, really interesting. Yeah, and
That's something that's new. It's not this time of year or something?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with the time of year, because normally in the summer, it's usually summer bouquets and color and things like that. So for white to be, you know, white, we normally would think would be more Christmas time, things like that. Or, you know, people want to have more of a winter expression or something like that. So the fact that we're bringing white in now really just shows me that we're just coming to a new level of awareness and integration, bringing new light on the planet. And people just really loving that, just the purity, the sense of clean and clarity, and just like, and I said, the multifaceted way that light is being reflected on the flowers and how people feel when they're around them. So I just think it's something to kind of notice. And, you know, you can go back to your wardrobe, look at the things you wear. Do you have a lot of white in your life? Do you have a white in your home? Is it something that you really feel attracted to, or is it something that, you know, you hadn't really even thought about? So just kind of want to put that out there with the flower power, and maybe get yourself some kind of a white flower this week. Spend a little time with your buddy and see how that is for people. And we'll kind of do a check-in to see what that's going to be like and consequence shows. So any thoughts on that, you guys, with white?
Well, it's interesting, Alana, when you do a lot of graphic work and you help design things, when I say white to you, what comes to you?
Well, thinking about web design, you know, white has been used very recently just a lot, and people talk about the white space that's on the page. And used to, you would want lots of color everywhere, and you would want, you know, people crammed a lot of things onto the page. But now, with minimalism being introduced, you know, there's a lot of white space on a page. So people are looking so that you can really draw focus onto the things that are most important on a page. So if I have something that's really important on there, I might put a lot of white around it to bring clarity to this, to what's most important.
Wow, I love that. So bringing white and less cramming in of things to bring more clarity. That was really beautiful. Thank you, Miss.
Thank you.
How about you, Aime?
And what about you, Aime?
Yeah,
are you walking
for me,
around
I
in
think...
white underwear?
Well, I
don't think so. I have to check. I'm not sure.
But I think when I think of white, you know, I think of cool. And we're in it's at least 111 today, and I think that maybe that's why I'm thinking cool, right? Because it's helping me to reach that space of calm and cool. I guess I'm thinking cool and calm in the same space, so that's interesting. So
trying
right now that's
that.
Right? And an open space of possibility. Anyway, so we're in the first invitation, and that's overall, it's don't wait, which I think is really exciting, especially now, you know, kind of the world has come to a stop, and there's a lot of ways we feel like, at least tell me if you guys feel different, that we've had this weight imposed upon us as in stopping, and maybe a weight on us too, right, that we have to stop things. There's it's four sections. We're going to talk about two sections today, and that first section is the doorway to possibility. So I love that juxtaposition of we're kind of in this wait period for a whole lot of people, but also so what we're talking about is not waiting and the door to possibility. So it's an interesting place to be, I think.
And to me, it's just such a compliment for, as Frank goes through the story, he talks about Jack, who had been a heroin addict for 15 years, and he wound up living in his car and didn't feel well one day, and they wound up going to the hospital, and he never went back to his car. But what was interesting was the way that he started looking at his life and just saying, I thought I had all the time in the world to do and everything that I wanted to do. And literally, I think, I don't know if they gave the amount of time he had, but he just really looked at the truth that, you know, all things inevitably must end, and that you may be able to have the courage to be able to begin in each moment in a manner that is deeply engaging. So instead of kind of like, you know, oh, yeah, I can do that next week, or I'm going to do that next year, looking at, you know, maybe modifying some of the things that you thought you wanted to do and have it be kind of, to me, because it just really reminds me of the bucket list of all these things that supposedly we're supposed to be doing in the world. And, you know, and it could be not even more simple of about, you know, what would be a perfect day for me if I didn't, you know,
go around the world, that kind of thing. Just being spending time in the way that really makes me enjoy my life, and even giving myself, you know, if I had, you know, 15 minutes to give to myself and maybe another, what would I do with that? So it doesn't have to be a whole day, but it's those quality moments that you can bring into your life that more and more you're going to find that you want. I think that's, you know, people are talking about that too with the pandemic. I've heard people talking about, you know, I feel bad, but in some ways I don't want it to stop. You know,
right.
They want it to
right.
be in this place where they've had it slow down and appreciate one another and have it where it doesn't feel like, you know, it's just everything is racing, you know, to the, you know, this high racing engine that just doesn't have any kind of a pause. And I think that's just a wonderful thing to be able to look at that and know that, you know, it really can be a place where we don't have to wait. So what do you think about that, Aim or Alana?
Yeah, cool. Two things on that, really, that, you know, one thing that really came out to me was, you know, the words don't wait, that, you know, the brain doesn't really take a don't, it doesn't take a negative
right.
in. And so, you know, to me, you know, I had underlined that passage as well, Robin. And the thing that got me was about engaging, that we need to engage. So instead of the words don't wait, the words that came to me were engage.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So to give myself that, the permission to engage. And with that, I was speaking with someone about how, you know, we've locked ourselves away in our homes. And, you know, my daughter works in the healthcare field. She's an administrator at a massage therapy practice where people come in for medical massage. And they're seeing quite a lot of people right now. And but the people come in, they're masked, and, you know, and all of their staff is masked. But Molly, sorry to use your name on there, but Molly hasn't been masked as much in the back area as administrator, right? Because she's not been workingly with the public, you know, working openly with the public. And but then I haven't been allowing her to come over to our house because just the risk factor is too high for us. And so, but then I thought to myself, gosh, I still have to find some ways to be able to hang out and be around her and do things, because what if we spend all of this time being separate, you know, distancing, and then one of us actually does get sick, and then we actually do have, you know, tragedy in our family. And we've spent all this time distancing over fear instead of finding ways to still engage and be together. And so I would regret that greatly. So that's kind of what I've been picking up to this book, is that I still need to actively find ways to engage with her in person if I can somehow, you know, like go to the park and socially distance picnic or something, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And so that not living, just really trying to embrace every day and not just live out of like, oh, we're just going to stay hunkered down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We focus on the present and being grateful for what we have in front of us right now. We say, I love you more often because we realize the importance of human connection. We become kinder, more compassionate, and more forgiving. Don't wait is a pathway to fulfillment and is an antidote for regret. And I think you really kind of really summarized that really well with, you know, the idea of having a picnic with your daughter.
Well, I think mm-hmm. that's the important
yeah.
part, is like, how do we give legs to this, right? How do we live this in our lives? And so I'm also doing The Power of Now, you know, from a million years ago with a couple of friends. We're meeting weekly. And so that kind of dovetailed with that. For me, it's about really living now and consciously and making choices. And what I've discovered since I've done that, and then when I got my master's in spiritual psychology, is when I was like, I put the stake in the ground and said, here going forward, I am going to live now consciously. And that's been 20 years. And ever since then, I don't have regrets. I do have regrets from before that, but I don't have regrets. It doesn't mean that things didn't happen that I'm not happy about, or things didn't go the way I thought they were going to go. But I know every step along the way I have made conscious choices, and I have people in my life that I meet with weekly or, you know, once a month that that have been there with me and are with me now to help me, so I can't make it up in my head that, no, I didn't do that, because I had those relationships to help me stay conscious. And when Ross and I first met, so you can get him to do anything, right? They're Stephen Levine, and Frank cites him in here as a heart friend, and in somewhere in this section he talks about Stephen, and he has done a lot of work of end of life. But he wrote a book, The Last Year of Your Life, and living your life right now as if it was your last year, with his wife, Andrea. And it was a whole day thing. And again, I was able to get him to do it because we were really in the relationship. And I'm so grateful that we did, and it was really meaningful to us. If you knew, imagine, what if this was, you know, the last year of your life? How would you live it? You know, and like you said, you know, with your daughter, is like, you know, what if something happened? I don't want to regret. And there's got to be a way we can have that connection.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was interested, Robin, to talk to you about, you know, he mentions there's a, on page 21, he has a little section about flowers. And and the impermanence of flowers and why we hold them so precious. And he talked about cherry blossoms, and he talked about blue flax. And he just, I just love, he says, why do such flowers appear so much more magnificent than plastic ones? The fragility, the brevity, and the uncertainty of their lives captivate us, invite us into beauty, wonder, and gratitude. But I just wanted to hear from you how that struck you.
Well, you know, okay, first it says, why do such flowers appear to be so much more magnificent than plastic ones? And I'm like, are you kidding?
Right. Yeah, I feel like I am.
You know. And it's just like there are certain flowers, hibiscus, blue flax. There's so many flowers that bloom for one day. Cactus.
Wow.
Certain cactus flowers that only bloom for a day. And but, boy, that day is just so magnificent. And I really feel that it's a macro micro of everything. Because, I mean, I feel like I can get lost in a flower that I'm looking at the cosmos. You know, when you see this mandala expression, living, organic expression of a universe in, you know, in this flower, and different things that are going on, that I thought it was such a really poignant thing to be able to talk about impermanence. And that, yeah, it's really true. That it's just this thing that...
Another part of flowers is they carry an energy.
Absolutely.
For crystals.
It's
right,
you're not going to get that off a plastic one, that's for darn sure.
Right, and you, I mean, literally, if you don't, this might be a fun exercise. Get a bouquet of different flowers and, you know, just kind of do a little of an experiment and see if you can feel a difference between the different flowers.
Yeah, and I mean, we could talk about how that can happen. You can just, like, you know, put your hands together like in palm prayers and then rub them together really quickly so you kind of get your energy going where you can actually, and then pull it apart. Like, you can feel the magnetic pull, the energy that gets built up between your hands, and then put that on both sides of a flower and see what you feel. You've got that going on. So, you know, there's all kinds of fun ways that we can be looking at energy of flowers and have it be, you know, really a neat science experiment, as well as kind of a big aha, because there's that intelligence. I heard somebody talking the other day about nature and how, you know, since they've been meditating, they realize that there's just such this quiet intelligence that's just there, that's just so amazing, that they hadn't really been aware of or allowed themselves to open to that in just the way that everything is working, you know, and it's this magnificent, you know, rhythm of life, this flux that we're going to talk about, that really just puts everything in rightness, even though sometimes it looks like it's chaos. It's actually rightness in the way that it's working in the world. So thanks a lot for bringing that up. I was going to talk about that. Yeah, I thought that was really wonderful that he brought that about impermanence. So in the Doorway to Possibilities, I love the beginning quote. It says, "It is almost banal to say so, yet it needs to be stressed continually. All is creation, all is change, all is flux, all is the metamorphosis." And that was from Henry Miller. And if you can put yourself in that mindset of what you have around you, that it is just this whole magnificence of creation being around me. I love to kid people when I do my classes, because I just said the world is sexing, you know. There's a lot of that going on. We constantly have the sex thing happening, and people are not really aware that sex is happening 24/7. But anyway, it's just really interesting.
Yeah. And I want to bring, I think, the whole intention of the book, us doing this book, and specifically this particular, invitation, Don't Wait, and it's the very last sentence of page 22, I'm talking about learning to live in a harmonious way with constant change.
And that's really something we wanted to do. Yeah, that's why we wanted to do the book right now, because, I mean, we are being held pretty much to the fire when it comes to change right now. And it can be something that can really be a force for excitement and just experimentality and all the other things that are going on in the world. People are reinventing things left and right for, showing, just the enthusiasm of like, and now what? And now what? You know, how do we make that work?
Yes.
And I think it's exciting to see that. Yeah, we are struggling with other aspects that we are being invited to really just bring things in a brand new way we haven't even thought about.
Right. And so much of this is really making those connections, having those relationships, have people really feel us, like experiencing those flowers in an energetic level. And something that I definitely want to get on record here with Alana, I want you to really hear this. I believe this is what you do for people in helping them deal with the trauma of technology and getting their workout and facing their heart dream. So if you can take it, try to listen to me. Page 29, Samantha is a wilderness guide in her mid-40s. I sat with her one endless night as her husband Jeff was dying. She asked me, what could I do that might help? I asked, what do you do when your young children are sick? She said, well, I sit quietly next to the bed, or sometimes I snuggle with them. I speak less and listen more. I let them know I am right here with them. I retell them in words and in touch how much I love them. Beautiful, what else? I could see she was remembering what she already knew. She almost whispered, I try to create a kind environment that is so peaceful so they are not afraid. I try to do simple things with great attention. I promise I won't leave them. I tell them it's okay that they are sick and it won't be like this forever. Let's breathe that in. That's what you do. For me, that's what you do for so many people.
Thank you, Amy. I loved that passage. I thought of that. Thought how we all have those healers in our life, right? Or those comforters in our life, and we need them, and we need them to give that place of peace for us. And so, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate what you do. You know, it's really see me, hear me, unconditionally love me, even when I'm crazy down.
Yes.
Crazy town.
Crazy town. Wonkin isn't so much of it. And then, as we've talked about before, that change and grief go hand in hand. So we're working with people, in all the different ways that the three of us work, individually and together with people who are dealing with massive amounts of fear and grief about what hasn't happened, what might happen, right? And what is, who am I now? Who am I going to be? What is my family going to look like? What is my work going to look like? And we're like, everybody, keep breathing, It's going to be okay, Find those mothers in your life, even though men, right, that bring that loving energy and get the people to help you with whatever, you need in terms of support and skills and talents.
One of the things that I loved in this book was the second section that we're in, when he's talking about the elements and how that brought peace to them, to the people that he's been, helping to transition, but especially to the families that had members of their family actively dying. And I just loved where he talks about the four elements are more than physical form. They are emotional and mental states, creative processes. They have a spectrum of characteristics: earth's hardness and softness, the fluidity and cohesiveness of water, the coolness and heat of the fire element, and stillness and motion of air. So I love that, just like turning to the earth. And, you know, we talked last week about how the environment has been changing with people not polluting as much because we're not all running out to work. And just like that is just a big change for the earth. But I love the way that he's used the four elements to help people heal through their grief and, you know, let them accept the change that's coming in their life by reminding them it's totally natural to have change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the quote from that said, for the raindrop, joy is entering the river.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I want to finish with that last paragraph, part two, but before that, I think I want to do the mindset moment. Does that feel right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So there's an exercise that I used to do a long time ago, and we were doing some work earlier, and it's called an acrostic. What it is that means, and it's an acronym that you do the side of the page. Help me if I can say this better. And like what Robin and I talked about, taking the word change and writing it on a piece of paper, C-H-A-N-G-E, and then being with that, spending some time with that. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be motivational. It doesn't. What that does is it makes you stop and to have a moment with where am I at right now with change. So that's your assignment. I'm going to read to you what came to me when kind of being with what would that look like is an acrostic for me. And it was clarity happens as I notice. Guidance everywhere.
I like that.
That's good.
Staying aware,
wow.
Staying engaged. You did wow.
I did wow. You want to hear a wow? I did wow. Wonder
sure.
Opens wisdom.
Oh, I like. Again, and what a fun thing to do is to do your name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's your. So we're going to. You can certainly do this exercise. Anything. Because what we're talking about is how can I be in a state where I can be in dealing with constant change, because it's always been that way, but it's accelerating. So maybe take some time and do that. Write your words. Get a buddy. Talk about it. What is it that came out of it? And maybe if there's something you're like, ooh, that showed me something that I'm not really happy with. That's okay. Find somebody to talk to you about and how do I make sense of that. Anybody you want to talk about that at all? Anybody want to talk about something that came up with them for that or something else you've done?
Well, I did Robin when we were talking, Amy and I were talking yesterday, and it said, realize openness brings intuitive nuances.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I feel like, wow.
Say it again, Robin. Robin, say it again.
Realize openness brings intuitive nuances.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So you can be open. When you're open there, you get some
mm-hmm.
intuition.
You're open to more intuition and more messaging and all that. And that just little subtle things, like you're talking about with deep listening and deep attention. So it's that sweet attention that you would give to something in just a really thoughtful way, being very sweet and thoughtful with something.
Beautiful. So that's an exercise to do it for yourself. Do it with, you know, maybe somebody that's a supporter or somebody that you enjoy playing with. And you can always add colors to it, and you can doodle, and you can do all kinds of things.
Yeah, Lana did that. That's when we were, like, talking about that, where she had shared one. Her and Amy were talking one day, and they did that. And she just had to – and tell them a little bit about how thoughtful you were with the colors.
Oh, yeah. So I did the word shame because, you know, sometimes we always struggle with shame. And so I changed it into self, honor, adore, me, evolve. So kind of like just, you know, honoring myself, adoring myself, and learning to change and evolve, right? And but what I did, I went through I found the color wheel because I wanted to really make sure, like I just am, because I'm a perfectionist about things. And so I went and found a color wheel to talk about color theory. And and just really went crazy with it and found the words that I thought each one of those self, honor, adore, me, evolve correlated to the color. And so that was really fun. I really enjoyed that because you like, if I can, I'm trying to pull up my little color wheel. But the colors I had put together were right here. So, like, the top word is in blue, so self is in blue, and these are the those are nature and confidence on the psychology of colors, color wheel. And so that's trust, power, confidence, loyalty, success, security, and purpose. And so you can just see, like, you just go through each one of those, and, you know, all those seem to really be embodying what I wanted with that word self. So I used blue on that level. So that was the, I'll put up a screenshot of the color wheel in my acrostic in our Transformation Cafe group.
It takes a lot of courage to be that vulnerable. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. I mean, if we're not vulnerable, we're not helping others. So.
Yeah, I get it, and I still honor you for it. Take that.
Yeah. Awesome. So next so, we're going to start out with I'd like to start with
Robin, let me read this, and then you want to tie it together with a pretty bow. So the very last couple of sentences on the end of two there, empathy arises through an appreciation of our transient and understanding transience and our understanding of our interconnectedness. We are not separate as we once thought we were. We are indeed, in fact, deeply connected to everyone and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we sure are. And we're going to go back to that a little bit in the chapter, talk about when Frank actually had a heart attack, and some of the insights that he had, I think, are really important to bring into the next show. Next show or two, we're going to be talking about the maturation of hope. And, boy, there's some really interesting things that go along with that, too, about regular hope as mature, as opposed to mature hope. So we're going to be getting in that, too. And we will have Mr. Reggie joining us as well. So it's going to be a great show. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Play with some colors and Heart of the Matter and all kinds of good things, all kinds of topics to talk about. And remind everybody to go to the Transformation Cafe on Facebook. And we're talking about doing our first live Facebook that we're going to actually be talking about the show and the book and stuff as well. So we're going to be in the plans of getting that all put together. Make sure you guys are aware when that's going to happen. So hopefully some of our listeners can go ahead and jump on the show. So we look forward to all that. Thank all you guys for all you do and just being as special as you are. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.